From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Inmates at the State Penitentiary in Parchment, Mississippi, have been turning up dead. State authorities announced that two prisoners were beaten to death this week. This just days after five inmates were killed in facilities across the state in a burst of violence. Governor Tate Reeves says his government is taking action, but inmates have been using contraband cell phones from inside prisons to talk to reporters and advocates and send them photos of horrendous conditions inside the facilities. We turn now to Rukia Lumumba. She's the executive director of the People's Advocacy Institute. Welcome to the program, Rukia.
Thank you. Thank you, Sonali.
So as I mentioned, this latest violence with two inmates being killed, the announcement came Tuesday, and it was at the Mississippi State Penitentiary in Parchment. Put those killings into context for us. This didn't come out of nowhere, right?
Not at all. Thanks for having me on, and thanks to your listening audience. So the violence and the conditions that are taking place inside of Parchment and actually across all of the Mississippi prisons that are run by the Mississippi Department of Corrections has been happening for years. For decades, we have held litigation by various local groups, including the Southern Poverty Law Center, the ACLU, the MacArthur Justice Center, have consistently litigated case after case to try to bring justice for people currently incarcerated inside of Parchment and other Mississippi Department of Correction prisons. The violence that we've seen and the deaths that we've seen are absolutely a result of neglect, of system neglect, of neglect in ensuring that there's proper staff, that there's proper mental health services, of ensuring that people are living in safe and humane conditions. We've talked to former prison guards who have talked about being required to supervise over 128 people at one time that are currently incarcerated. As a result of that, having to figure out who to administer medication to and who to not administer medication to, so rather who to just let continue to go on needing. We've heard cases of people recently having to literally defecate and pee inside of the containers that their food comes in because there's no water. Recently, you have reported two recent deaths that happened over the past 2 days, that being Tuesday and Monday of this week. But what we've also seen is overnight, we've heard two more deaths have occurred, bringing the total since December 31st to 10 deaths, 10 deaths since December 31st inside of these prisons.
Wow. Are they mostly happening at the state penitentiary in Parchment or in other parts of other prisons in Mississippi as well?
The ones that we're hearing about since December are mostly happening at Parchment. However, we've seen deaths throughout the Mississippi Department of Corrections. In 2018, we saw 17 people die within Mississippi Department of Correction facilities, 17 in 1 month. So we're seeing just an enormous rate of just death, of suffering, of abuse, and of maltreatment. Mississippi has the third highest rate of incarceration in the state, and it incarcerates 19,000 people right now.
Wow.
So,
So the latest deaths, as far as we know, were a result of blunt force beating. Do we know who was responsible? I understand that some of the other deaths also include suicides or apparent suicides.
Yeah. So what we know is that the state is trying to characterize this as gang violence. And what we know that from the beginning, that what has happened inside is that people are at their breaking points. They haven't been provided adequate food, adequate water, adequate heat, and it's cold outside. So tension is high inside of these facilities. We've gotten reports of guards, allowing writhing people into the cells to beat people. But we've also gotten reports of guards engaging in abusive action. And so we know that they are harassing people trying to find cell phones because people incarcerated are standing out regardless of the consequences and sharing their videos and their stories with us via cell phones that they've been able to maintain inside. So what we see happening now is that the governor has required more guards to be to go into these facilities, and they're shaking down the cells. And during these shakedowns, we've gotten reports of people being brutally beaten. We've gotten reports of people's legal papers being taken away, and that's completely illegal. We've gotten reports of people literally being shot with pellet guns. We talked to someone who recently came out where this happened to them. They were also hit in the mouth, knocking out their front teeth. And this is all being done by guards. Wow. And so the type of force that is being issued to so-called get things under control is a type of inhumane force that only creates worse problems and has truly created more deaths and harm. We've heard about people having diabetic shock and going into seizures. And we've also heard about a number of suicides that have occurred. Mm.
You mentioned that the issue of gang violence is being raised as an explanation for what's happening, but we know that that is essentially racialized language, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is absolutely racialized language, as you've stated. We know that anytime they talk about organized groups, which are often known as gangs by state officials, that they're talking about groups who are organizing to actually protect themselves, right? What we found is that inside of these facilities is that groups are organizing together to, one, create truce and to prevent harm from happening to each other and to make sure that they're taking care of each other. We've heard over and over and over again instances where people incarcerated are helping each other. We had one video where a young man was hanging for 13 hours. It was the other prisoners who took him down and wrapped him in sheets and drug his lifeless body out into a place where it could lay to rest. We heard situations in where people are trying to treat each other for injuries, for wounds that they've incurred, and trying to use the things that are in their cell to help them. So we know that this idea that it's violence that is caused by gangs or is just another excuse to use for why they're not providing proper treatment, proper support to people, adequate services that prevent people from even getting to a place where they have to live in squalor and suffer.
The New York Times last week published their report based on a cell phone conversation that they had with multiple inmates inside the Mississippi State Penitentiary in Parchman. The headline of that piece was, "Please try to help us." And essentially, the phone was passed from inmate to inmate with bouts of silence in between as they had to stash it when a prison guard walked by. But some of the things that they described were so horrendous in terms of the conditions inside the prison. One inmate said there's more everywhere, there are rats everywhere, and that one said that they're treating us like animals. They talked about unreliable electricity and water, injuries that are not healed, and the vermin that forced them to hang leftover food from the ceiling, broken toilets, holes in prison walls, dangling wires, dead rodents caught in sticky traps, and photos that were essentially texted to the New York Times. Some of the photos are just horrendously disturbing. We're showing them to our TV audience. These are conditions inside the prison. This is the kind of thing you might imagine inside a dictatorship in the third world, but this is happening in the United States. Images of insects in food, inmates being shoved several to a room as they sleep with, toilets that don't work. So these conditions are happening inside Mississippi prisons. Who is responsible? What sort of accountability has there been? Because through these cell phone photos, the prisoners have been able to change the narrative of the state, right?
That's right. That's right. Through them speaking out. And trust me, they're speaking out knowing that they might be signing themselves to a death sentence. Right. They're using these cell phones to tell their stories because they are at their end.
Right. Being caught with one of these phones could add years to their sentence.
Years. Look at the story of Willie Nash, a Mississippi man who literally was just sentenced to 12 additional years because he was caught with a cell phone. Wow. Additional as contraband, 12 additional years. So folks know that they are stepping out and taking a significant risk. They are self-sacrificing to make sure that conditions are better for everyone because human beings deserve human conditions and they recognize this and they can't take it anymore. They can't take it anymore. So, you know, what we're doing is that we're demanding the state because it is absolutely the state's responsibility and it is the state's failure to act. Governor Tate Reeves was in office. He was lieutenant governor and has been lieutenant governor for years before he just recently was inaugurated as the governor of Mississippi just last week, Tuesday. And so he has known about these conditions for years. This is not new. And so what we're asking is that he actually stand up. He and other legislators stand up and take appropriate action. We're asking them to immediately move incarcerated people to more humane facilities. There are facilities that are available for some people to be moved to immediately. And then there is a host of legislation and actually governor privilege through commutation that can happen where the governor can actually begin to release people. 19,000 people is way too many. And we know that of those 19,000, a good majority, a significant majority, are in there for drug offenses. And so we're asking people, we're asking the governor to also commute sentences of those that are elderly and aging, those that are infirmed. We're asking them to immediately commute sentences of folks who have simple possession and other drug offenses that can be released immediately. These are people who have don't have any cases of so-called violent action. But we're also asking the governor to immediately support legislation to expand what we call a House Bill 585, which allows people who have served over 50% of their sentence to immediately also be released. Right now in Mississippi, a number of people have to serve 85% of their sentence, which literally puts people towards a death toll of dying in prison. So we're asking the governor to release people. We know that the governor has the ability just through those three things to release 6,000 people. Because what will happen is if we move people, just move them immediately to a better facility, then they'll be overcrowding.
What about federal oversight? Recently, a number of officials, including members of Congress and others from groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center, sent the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division a letter demanding an immediate investigation into the conditions in Mississippi prisons. Isn't this something that the federal government needs to take a stand on as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We were a part of that that letter and that request for an investigation. So at the People's Advocacy Institute, we joined the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is also a member of our coalition, to request that investigation. Listen, there are no government officials that can sit back and do nothing. On the federal level and on the state level, they have to act. We know that whenever there has been true change in these prisons, it has come from a directive from the federal government. When you look at Rikers Island, the whole investigation of Rikers Island by the Department of Justice is really what pushed New York City to begin efforts to stop, to end and close down Rikers. We've seen that happen over and over again in other places, in other states. We know that Parchman Prison is a 18,000 acre former plantation.
Wow.
After slavery, it became a plantation. I'm sorry, after slavery, it became a prison. It was a plantation. So it went from slave labor to prison labor. And it still exists to this day. And it's time for it to close down. It's time for it to be gone. It symbolizes oppression from the moment it was created, and it continues to symbolize a place of oppression.
Wasn't Mississippi also the state that had the highest number of lynchings?
It was one of the states. I think there's one other state that had more than us, and I can't remember exactly which state that was, but we weren't far behind.
Right. So this is a state with a sordid history of racialized violence that is now has not just one of the highest rates of incarceration in the country, but also one of the highest rates of prisoner deaths within those incarcerated facilities. This is a Republican legislature. How much of the responsibility do you place for these conditions? Do you place on the sort of right-wing conservative agenda of Governor Tate Reeves, former lieutenant governor, and the former governor Phil Bryant, under whom he served?
Absolutely. That's a really great question. And the answer is quite simple. The answer is that we're not looking for political reform. We're looking for reform that just looks to make you look good on election day. We're looking for reform that actually transforms a system, that actually creates a system that's about creating better human conditions, better reality and ways of life for people when they come home. What we've seen over and over again by a Republican-led government in Mississippi is a care and a concern for capitalism and for the dollar and not for human beings and human bodies. And so our failures, or their failures rather, because it's not ours, it's not ours, the people's. We're not the ones sitting back and allowing this to happen. We're the ones that every year have been fighting this fight to get better conditions for our people behind prison walls. Every single year, bills are presented to the legislators and to the governor to say, we want to see less people in prison. We want to see our loved ones come home every year. And so we, the people of Mississippi, are moving to see change and transformative change. And now it's time for this, this government, specifically right-wing governments, to let down this capitalistic view and actually support people and the development of people power and people conditions.
How much of the violence also stems from a very low staffing of these facilities? I understand that there is a high turnover, but also just simply not enough people in the facilities, guards and others. And I don't know if this is because conditions are so bad, or because pay is poor, or because budgets have been slashed, or all of the above.
It's all of the above, all of it. Not only do you have people who are incarcerated living in these conditions, but you have people, staff who work there every day having to work in those conditions. You're creating a situation of just of heartache, of deep, low morale, of no desire, right, to create better situation for the people that they're supposed to be there to supervise and help, right? And so you have staff that are also forced to work in squalor. Not only to force to work in squalor, but then not given the resources and the tools to do their job, not given the training, and absolutely not given the pay. The guards and the other staff inside of these facilities tend to make far less than people who work in their same position as in other places. So it is just a system built to be disastrous. It is a system built to be disaster. I give you an example. I talked earlier about one guard being required to supervise 128 men. One guard. I've talked to a few guards now, and this is the norm. This is not something that happened in December of 2019. This is not something that's just happening in January of 2020. This has been happening for years. Putting a staff person in the position to determine who gets to live and who dies because you're one person and can't meet the medical needs of everyone. And not only can you not meet the medical needs of everyone, you're not even trained to provide medical supervision or medical support. And so can you imagine that? Imagine the trauma that does to even the employee. And let's not forget that Mississippi is a will work place, which means you can be fired for any reason.
So we don't have union rights are weak. Again, part of the Republican agenda. Yeah.
There are no unions. We've been fighting for unions for years. We have no unions.
You mentioned the case of Willie Nash. There's also the case of Curtis Flowers, a man who was prosecuted 6 times for the same crime by a white district attorney. His conviction eventually was overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court last December. What role does the judicial system play in Mississippi in trying their best to fill prisons in, you know, this very harsh so-called tough on crime, which of course we know means racist justice system, criminal justice system?
Yeah. Excellent question. We know that that's part of the first entry into the prison is the courts. And so we've seen the Fifth Circuit, I think it's the Northern District, and I want to get that right for you. Give me a second. But has consistently, when litigation was filed by the Southern Poverty Law Center, just got a result back from the court indicating that their litigation around conditions was denied. They found no wrongdoing, that conditions were adequate for the people incarcerated. And so, you know, you can see that we're just constantly up against a solid wall of just injustice. They just, you know, won't let that wall come tumbling down. We go to the courts and litigate. For 10 years, the Southern Poverty Law Center has been litigating cases around conditions inside of the prisons. Hmm. It's just over and over and over again. We keep getting shut down.
Newly seated Governor Tate Reeves he tweeted when the latest news around the two inmates being killed came to light this week. He said, there's much more to be done here. We've asked the Department of Corrections to provide as much information to the public as possible, as quickly as possible. Transparency is the first step. He's saying that he wants to be transparent. How do you respond?
Well, we know that words can sometimes fall on deaf ears, and that words sometimes are just words. We know already that there are several family members who have still not heard about the whereabouts and well-being of their loved ones.
Wow.
Right before getting on this call, we had 4 family members within the past couple of hours reach out to us and say, we're still looking for our loved ones. We haven't received any updated information as to their whereabouts and their well-being. So transparency is important, but we can't just say we want transparency. We have to create the systems that allow transparency to exist.
And you could argue that those cell phone photos that prisoners are sharing is precisely transparency.
Right. That's right. And so they should not be charged with additional crimes for a cell phone. You know, they are our prison whistleblowers. They're the ones telling us what is really happening behind those prison walls, and they should not be penalized by giving extra time. And so if you're really about transparency, then we want to see you not harm the very people who are exposing the neglect and the failures of a system that you knew was broken in the first place, or actually never was built to be right.
Well, Rukia, where can people find out more about the work that you do?
Yeah, definitely. To learn more about the prison crisis, which we're calling a humanitarian crisis because it is, asking people to join us at the Mississippi Prison Reform Coalition. You can reach us on Facebook at Mississippi spelled out, Prison Reform Coalition, or you can email us at mprcoalition@gmail.com. Again, that's mprcoalition@gmail.com. We really appreciate any support that people can offer. You know, this is a serious crisis, and we're ready to give our people some relief.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Rukia. Good luck to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
My guest has been Rukia Lumumba, Executive Director of the People's Advocacy Institute, and we've been talking about conditions inside Mississippi prisons where several inmates have been killed or committed suicide. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.